Moving along, we get to the next presentation of the day, and I'll be introducing Wendy Waldman's presenter in a minute or two, but I have a couple of short testimonials from people on Wendy's behalf that I'm going to read here. First one is from Renee Bodie. I am not going to talk about the facts of Wendy's many accomplishments, of which there are many. I want to talk about her heart and her passion for our musical community, the brilliant gift she has been to all of us. I don't even think she even fully realizes the impact her music and her life has had on others. The ripples that go out far and wide with lasting and positive impact on us all. It's not just the brilliant songs and music that have had their impact, it's the engagement, the passionate energy she has given to others in the journey of her life. Her passion for the success of others is one of her most admirable qualities. Spending countless hours, days, months on projects to promote her musical partners, Far West, Folk Alliance International, and more. There is nothing that I have ever seen Wendy Waldman do that was less than fully invested. If she takes on a project, it's with her heart, her soul, and the very fiber of her being, and we are all the better for it. Because the depth of her foundation of knowledge and history in this business is second to none, and because most people don't get to see that wealth that we have in her, our dear friend and her musical partner, Kenny Edwards, called Wendy a force of nature, and that she is. I have had the gift of Wendy Waldman as my mentor, wild woman friend, my sister, and my colleague. Lastly, Renee says, I will paraphrase Wendy's words back to her, once written about her dear friend and musical partner, Kenny. I don't think she realizes how many people love her and how much her music had and will have a growing impact on the world of music around us. I hope you realize today, that's all of us, how much Wendy, you are loved, and the huge positive impact you have had and will continue to have on all of us. Renee closes by, I love you, my friend. You truly are the best of the West. Now we have a little short and sweet one from Jim Photoglow, the co-composer of Fishing in the Dark. And Jim says, Wendy Waldman is a force of nature. Her talent and humanity are formidable, and my love for her runs deep. She is my sister from another mister. And the last of these three testimonials is from Dan Navarro. Dan says, I was gobsmacked and awestruck by Wendy Waldman starting in 1973, when I heard Gringo in Mexico and Mad Mad Me. Her vocal arrangements for Linda Ronstadt on Don't Cry Now, whoops, and their duet on Eagle and the Owl, on into Back by Fall, the main refrain, all turntable staples decades before we ever met. Dan goes on, that came in 1992 over lunch at Musso and Frank in Hollywood, and evolved into an artistic road trip through coffee houses, studios, and boardrooms, bonding over cowboy poets and Renaissance composers, dissecting turgid love lives and Providence come and gone, and capped by heart-rich hours singing together on her songs, my songs, and Kenny Edwards' songs. Nary a pedestrian word has ever been uttered between us. And Dan says, I've been the blessed beneficiary of her encouragement, her aesthetics, and above all, the honor of her friendship. Her artistry is her hallmark, and that, for my money, is the main refrain. Okay, I'd like to welcome Sydney Bullens to the stage to present to Wendy Waldman. I've had the pleasure of working with Sydney before, and this is just a complete honor for me as well as for all of you. Okay, Sid.
Well, after Renee, Jim, and Dan, they stole my thunder here, but guess what? I'm up on the stage, and they're not. Love you, Dan. I'm Sid Bullins, formerly known as Cindy Bullins, for those who haven't seen me in a few years. I am honored and privileged to be here today to present my dear friend, my colleague, my bandmate, my partner in crime, and my soulmate, Wendy Waldman, with this year's Best of the West Award. You can find Wendy's lengthy and impressive bio pretty much anywhere online, and indeed in the rock and roll history books. So look her up if for some strange reason you are unfamiliar with her decades of art and accomplishments. Today I would like to say a few words about Wendy Waldman, the person, my friend. We first met in Nashville in 1990. I had just started commuting from Nashville from New England to co-write after the stinging realization that I was not going to be the rock star I had imagined myself to be. One night, I saw that Wendy was performing in the round at the famed Bluebird Cafe. Years before, in 1974, I had moved from Los Angeles just after Wendy's critically acclaimed second album, Gypsy Symphony, was released on Warner Brothers Records with her celebrated song, Mad, Mad Me. Somehow, I fell in with some of the Southern California musicians and artists who were on or around the Warner's roster, including the late, great Kenny Edwards, who in the late 60s formed Brindle with Wendy, Carla Bonoff, and Andra Gold. I heard about Wendy. I became a fan. But at that time, we didn't meet. I remember no one else who sang at the Bluebird that night in 1990. I only remember Wendy. Her gorgeous voice, deft musicianship, and staggering songwriting as I sat on a bar stool in the back of the room listening in awe. Plant Your Fields, Letter Home, Fishing in the Dark. Also, she was, at the time, one of the only two women record producers in Nashville, producing Susie Boggess, Somewhere Between, and the Newgrass Revival's Friday Night in America, featuring John Cowan, Sam Bush, and Bella Fleck. Go ahead, Google women country music record producers. You won't find many, even today. Wendy, always bold and ahead of her time. I pushed my way through the crowd when the Bluebird show wrapped up that night and introduced myself. I was surprised that she knew my name and my work. Wendy was and is the consummate student of music. I proceeded to almost stalk her for about a year until finally she invited me sometime in 91 to her new home in Los Angeles to write. I wrote a song with Wendy Waldman. I was so proud. Cut to 2006. Wendy, Deborah Holland, and I get together at Tin Pan South's Songwriters Festival in Nashville, where we were all performing. We hadn't seen each other in a few years. We hang. She and Deborah, who I also knew for many years, convinced me to fly to Los Angeles to see if we should start a band. And thus, The Refugees was born. This is when I really get to know and love Wendy Waldman. I knew about the big stuff, Save the Best for Last, which was nominated for a Grammy in 93. Her songs recorded by Bette Midler, Cher, Madonna, Earth, Wind, and Fire. The list goes on. What I really didn't know was her heart and the depth of Wendy's commitment, not only to her art, but to her family, her friends, her music community, her cooking, her weaving, her cats. In other words, to all that she loved. If you were lucky enough to really get to know her even more, you also get to experience the humor, the soft and the tender, the tough and the unrelenting. Wendy is the quintessential Earth Mother, strong, caring, deep, and passionate. I love her. I simply love Wendy Waldman. I respect her. I admire her. As they say in the recovery programs, I want what she has. The sheer brilliance of her talent, her dedication, again, her commitment, her yearning for knowledge, her will to never give in. Not to, but you're a woman, you can't do that. Not to perceived limitations, to age, to circumstance. Wendy never gives up. There is always a new idea and something else to learn. Life and the pursuit of art and creativity are infinite to Wendy Waldman. She is an inspiration to me. She is my teacher, my confidant, my comforter, my champion, my fellow explorer. She is my friend. So now, it gives me the greatest pleasure, and I'm going to cry, to present, it's hard on testosterone, by the way. Right in the middle of the presentation line. This is not about me. So now, it gives me the greatest pleasure to present the 2018 Best of the West Award to my friend, Wendy Waldman.
I have my father's ring. He was a great composer. He wrote a Perry Mason theme, and he wrote many years of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Star Trek, Twilight Zone. He's a cult composer. I got my mom's earrings. She was also a great musician. I have my sister and brother-in-law in my head and my brilliant children with me in my heart. It's really good to see all of you here. I gotta say, I was kind of stunned when Steve Garvin called and said that Far West was gonna recognize me. I've always assumed, especially in the music community, that awards are given to people who at the very least leave the house. That must be summer songs over there. At least now and then. And in my case, leaving the house itself can be deserving of an award sometimes. That's not because I don't love my music community, because I do very much. And I just more and more feel the need to spend as much time as I can making music, studying music, and making it possible for others to make music with my help. As many of you know now, my primary weapons of choice are songwriting and the studio. My road to the studio is the result of failing, as a few bios of me have gleefully pointed out. I have failed to become the rock star that I hoped I might be. Certainly, I was given every chance to go that route, and I really, you know, man, I really thought I was doing what you were supposed to do. With every album and every tour I did, but it turns out I was so much of a nerd and so much of an egghead and so stubborn and unmanageable that the fates had other plans for me, which have made life far richer and more amazing than I ever could have imagined. My career, or as Kenny Edwards used to say, what we laughingly refer to as our careers, is entirely the result of other people's generosity. Starting ironically at the moment that it became clear to me that the limo was not going to pick me up in front of the house for the rest of my life. At that point, I was forced to reevaluate many things, and in so doing, unwittingly, I became a student, and have been ever since. I was taught to collaborate in songwriting after refusing, because after all, I was an artiste. Well, when I was finally starving, the great Eric Kaz came to me and asked me to write with him for Randy Meisner and for Kim Carnes, and he took me under his wing for 2 years and taught me how to collaborate, followed by countless patient, talented songwriters in Nashville, L.A., New York, and Europe. I was taught to produce records by good old boys and recording artists in Nashville who, for some reason or other, believed in me, the pop Jewish writer in a purple leather jacket from L.A. And I was lifted up by the incredible community of session musicians in Nashville who liked playing for me. Without them, I wouldn't be here. I had great publishers, Charlie Feldman, Linda Wortman, Chuck Kay, Joel Sill, Jonathan Stone, Michael Ames, who believed in me and, more importantly, put up with me. And that was probably an art in itself. I have learned about making music from remarkable musicians, technicians, producers, publishers, and writers. When I came back to LA from my years in pleasant exile in Nashville, there was a brand new community here forming. It was growing itself as the old record industry model was fading. Beside having the opportunity to work once again with Kenny Edwards, Carla Bonoff, and Andrew Gold, I found myself welcomed by the newly re-emerging acoustic music community in LA, so reminiscent of the early days. I'm a proud member of that community today. And I speak of the early days when Jackson and I and others would come after school and sit on the sidewalk Monday at 3 o'clock in front of the Troubadour to play the Hootenanny. This was a real thing, and we could play one song, I think, and you always, of course, you know, nailed it. But one time, I got an encore. I was 16, and I was like, I need to mention, this is actually not about me. It's actually about all of you guys, ironically. Some of the people who have been instrumental in building my family and also your family. It all starts, for me, of course, with Roz and Howard Larman, who founded Folk Scene many, many years ago. Yes, I provided them a home. For the show, but they provided me and all of us, players and listeners alike, a home long before, in the early 70s. Today, the Folkscene family, I'm proud to say, continues with the great Roots DJ and now head of Folkscene, Alan Larman, his wife Kat, Peter Cutler, brilliant engineer, and Deborah Hand, his wife. I'm so proud to work with you guys. The great George Winston, one of the most astonishing librarians and music students in the world, helped us with Folkscene with the gift of a beautiful Steinway piano, upon which many people have recorded now for Folkscene, including Eric Anderson, Jimmy Webb, and others. Dan Navarro and Eric Lowen gave me the gift of priceless friendship and support at a time when, unbeknownst to them, I really needed it. And I thank you for that. I worked early with the late Billy Block, building the First Western beat. And I was a regular there for many years. Russ and Julie Paris, who are the foundation of all things, began putting my colleagues and me into their fabulous house concerts, which led to so much that it's worth a speech on its own. All the house concert presenters have made a difference in the life of every one of us who's been fortunate to play them or go to them. It's on the shoulders of the house concerts that we're standing here today, because it sure ain't the record business. Ron Sarfati, my close friend, and it was Ron Sarfati who literally, financially, laid the first brick of the foundation of the studio. Without Ron Sarfati, there would be no Longhouse studio, period. How do you repay that? My dear colleagues in Brindle, the late Kenny Edwards, the late Andrew Gold, and Carla Bonoff were my true musical siblings, and I am grateful that we finally had a chance to record and play together. At least we did that, and my heart is still broken, but hey, man, let's go make music. Renee Bodie, of course, has been a singular cheerleader and sounding board for me and for many of you for many years. My dear working colleagues and friends here at my table, Michael Ames, my publisher, Karen Falzoni, my music library consultant and partner, Mark Newbar, who's not here, my co-manager, collaborator, who taught me how to edit banjo hip-hop style when I got into a real mess with a John Cowan record, and so much more. And my technical partner in crime and collaborator, the brilliant engineer and doctor of Chinese medicine, who built the studio with me, Rob Hoffman. Love you guys very, very much. And I thank you. My partners in the refugees. You know, what can I say about these guys? My partners in the refugees who have put up with me and who toured, recorded, stood by me in ways they probably shouldn't have. Sid didn't tell you that part. And it was like the not-so-nice part, eh? Bob Lefsetz, controversial pioneer music blogger, been supportive of me and many of us. Remember when we dragged him to Folk Alliance and where was it, Memphis or Kansas City? And my partners in the refugees, by the way, Sid Bowens and Deborah Holland. I just want to mention that. Okay, the last of these people, the legendary H.B. Barnum, Aretha Franklin's music director, has taken me into his family and allowed me to record in the studio with him. He even has allowed me to produce him and has supported my work with the great musician and very close friend, the Polish superstar, Mieczek Szczesniak, who some of you have met and who is, of course, he's our family. From H met him and said, you know, he was born on, you know, 71st and Vernon and dropped off in Warsaw. And now he's just come home to us. Now, about my fellow presenters, this is old family, guys. I mean, I started playing music in the 60s, you know, and here's what's amazing to me about this. I'm so connected to you. McCabe's concerts, let's see if we can follow this, were started by our dear friend, inspired musician, Bobby Kimmel. Now, you gotta have a family tree. Now, Bobby Kimmel and Kenny Edwards and Linda Ronstadt had started the Stone Ponies. And so Bobby got into the McCabe's thing, and he was a huge Brindle fan. He wanted to be in Brindle. And we wouldn't let him because we weren't nice. Bobby was also a dear friend. The secret in my life is this old guy, Ken Waldman, who was my first husband, who brought us all together. Anyhow, so Bobby started the McCabe's House Concert Series. The very first act that played the series was Brindle. Now, if you go upstairs, I don't know if it's still there or not, because it's changed. Okay, if you go upstairs, there's a picture of us, and the little nerd in the horrible dress is me. Tom Campbell, I'm also met through Ken Waldman, and I bugged Tom to let me play some of the No Nukes concerts, but I wasn't a star. I wasn't going to draw anything, and he finally put me opening in Santa Fe and a very controversial gig in Pismo Beach opening for Little Feet. I'm so honored to be sharing this, and to, A, we're still alive, so they're giving us the awards for this, just saying, okay? Finally, Folk Alliance, on whose board I served until the call of music study became too loud for me to ignore, the beloved and much-missed Lewis Myers, and all the board members, past and present, who were so kind to me. You're all why I'm here. Just a note, I have to read it. In these terrifying times, when we witness the coarsening of the culture, the dismissal of our very fundamental and fiercely held values, there are two things that can combat this darkness. Community and teaching. Learning from each other, banding together, making beautiful art, literature, science, progress, supporting each other in our endeavors and dreams, and giving each other courage. This is a tough one, man. This is what helps us ultimately to triumph over evil and ignorance. Certainly, the generosity and patient teaching of this wonderful community that's put up with a lot more of my bitchiness than you needed to, starting back nearly 50 years ago, is why I'm here. I thank you again for your extraordinary kindness and your patience and your great hearts. I'd like to sing a song I wrote many years ago about everyone in this room, ironically. Yeah. I need a cable. Played this song on piano for 40 years. Doing that diva with the long flowing hair thing. Just moved it to guitar, because we are, after all, in the folk music community. Thanks, everybody. It's so nice to see you. And I'll see you again in 10 years. I got a paper due on Monday. All the people are sad. I heard it way up on the mountain where I was living. No food for the children, and the times are so bad. Well, whatever happened to giving? Mama, mend the hole in my coat. Take my guitar off the wall. I got to go and see what I can do. And I hope I'll be back by fall. Summer was a dry one, yeah, the wind burned. crops. And then the crows carried off what was left over. 5 nights down in the valley, lights burned down. The people could not stop as the damage they tried to recover. Oh, mama, mend the hole in my coat. Take my guitar off the wall. I got to go and see what I can do. And I hope I'll be back by fall. Lightning in the mountains, and the wind blows so sweet. I swear sometimes this must be heaven. I can't look back, can't think about it, just think about the road beneath my feet. And remember the gift that must be given. Take my guitar off the wall. Got to go and see what I can do. And I hope.